Morning, let us worship God. Come with purpose into the presence of the living God. Come to worship and to be amazed, to discover and learn new things. Come that God welcomes all of us with open arms. We join together to sing, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." So let us pray. Lord God, we come before you now and we open our hearts to you. We gather to focus totally on you. We praise you that you are a God who loves, that you have given us this marvelous world to live in and to share with all your people. And you are a God who loves everyone equally. And we thank you that we are each unique. Thank you that each one of us has so much to give and receive. Thank you. Lord, we confess that sometimes we might look as though we're listening to others. We might even be making the right noises, but we confess that our attention is elsewhere and we have missed opportunities. We have been too distracted by our own concerns. Forgive us. Sometimes we do not listen to people because we don't like them or because they're different from us. Forgive us, Lord, for these are missed opportunities. And sometimes we don't take time to listen to you. because we're too busy, too frightened. Forgive us, Lord our God, for we are not the people that we wish we were. Set us free from our past and free from our sin. Forgive us. And Lord, help us to receive your forgiveness. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we have two readings, the first from the prophet Isaiah. The opening of the third section of Isaiah sees the people chastened by exile, returning home back to the land. And the focus is on those who would keep the Sabbath, which is a truly countercultural marker of being God's people. Everyone who observes it, whether they are Jewish or Gentile, will be blessed. And then the second reading from Matthew's Gospel, which we know Janine is reading, which might look like two completely distinct things. First glance, looks like two unconnected sections. But the first section is about the Pharisees criticizing Jesus and criticizing his followers for their lack of hygiene. People are unclean, says Jesus, not because of what goes into their mouth, but what goes out of their heart. And then, just to prove the point, we have a woman who was outside of the people, shows that great things are going on in her heart. And after these readings, we will listen for the sermon.
The reading is from Isaiah 56, reading verse 1. The Lord says to his people, do what is just and right, for soon I will save you. And from verse 6, and the Lord said to those foreigners who become part of his people, who love him and serve him, who observe the Sabbath and faithfully keep his covenant, I will bring you to Zion, my sacred hill, give you joy in my house of prayer, and accept the sacrifices you offer on my altar. My temple will be called a house of prayer for the people of all nations. The sovereign Lord, who has brought his people Israel home from exile, has promised that he will bring still other people to join them. Amen.
Matthew 15, verses 10 to 20, and then 21 to 28. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, listen and understand, it is not what goes into a person's mouth that makes him ritually unclean. Rather, what comes out of it makes him unclean. Then the disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees had their feelings hurt by what you said? Every plant which my Father in heaven did not plant will be pulled up, answered Jesus. Don't worry about them. They are blind leaders of the blind. And when one blind man leads another, both fall into a ditch. Peter spoke up, explain this saying to us. Jesus said to them, "You are still no more intelligent than the others. Don't you understand? Anything that goes into a person's mouth goes into his stomach and then on out of his body. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these are the things that make a person ritually unclean. For from his heart come the evil ideas which lead him to kill, commit adultery, and do other immoral things, to rob, lie, and slander others. These are the things that make a person unclean. But to eat without washing your hands, as they say you should, this doesn't make a person unclean." And then verse 21. Jesus left that place and went off to a territory near the cities of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman who lived in that region came to him. "Son of David," she cried out, "have mercy on me. My daughter has a demon and is in a terrible condition." But Jesus did not say a word to her. His disciples came to him and begged him, "Send her away. She's following us and making all this noise." Then Jesus replied, "I have been sent only to those lost sheep, the people of Israel." At this, the woman came and fell at his feet. "Help me, sir," she said. Jesus answered, "It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." "That's true, sir," she answered, "but even the dogs eat the leftovers that fall from their master's table." So Jesus answered her, "You are a woman of great faith. What you want will be done for you." And at that very moment, her daughter was healed. Amen.
Hello, whoever you are, wherever you are, and how much you know us. My name is Leslie Charlton. I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. And if we can be alongside you in any way, it would be great. The readings I'm preaching from today are Isaiah 56, verses 1 and then 6 to 8, and Matthew 15, and you want to get best bang for your buck, you read it from 10 to 28. Two people. One steps out, falters and fails, and is told by Jesus that he has a little faith. And one breaks through convention, shouts in public, and Jesus tells her that she has great faith. Peter and the Canaanite woman. Peter, the leader of the church. The Canaanite woman, outside of the chosen people. One has faith and one has not. You could call this the parable of the persistent woman. History knows her well. She will advocate for her children whatever it takes. She keeps going, though society tells her to be quiet, tells her that she is not being ladylike. It is not ladylike to shout. Society doesn't invite her into the room where the important people are, except maybe to clear up the refreshments, although currently she is furloughed and soon she will be unemployed, unlike those who are round the table making the decisions. A foreigner comes to Jesus and asks him to heal her child. Jesus is silent. The disciples want rid of her. Too much noise, too much irritation, too much shouting. But we would shout too if we thought it was the only hope for our child. So she comes and she kneels before him. The most humbling and gut-wrenching of things. She asks for his help and he grants it. Jesus challenges the woman with the use of the term dogs, but she gives him as good as she gets. She concludes his proverbial statement by saying, "The children get fed first, but the house dogs, they will have their share." And Jesus is amazed by her. And the editor of the Gospel, tells us that healing has happened. In the early chapters of Isaiah up to 55, we have the words of the prophet to the people in exile. And now, in chapter 56, Isaiah is speaking to the people who are returned and rebuilding the nation after their time of exile. The challenge for the returning exiles in their desperate situation is to continue doing what is right. Alongside that, they are reminded of God, who is beyond national boundaries and barriers. The easiest thing to do in a time of crisis is to focus on me and mine. It's right to give time to self-care in this sort of season. Eating right, exercising, sleeping, all these are important. Avoiding weed, whether it's legal or not, avoiding alcohol. But that's not the end. It's a start. So that we can look out outwards. To think of our family and to reach out to our friend. That all matters. But even that is not the end of it. No, that's not the model of how God loves. God is, in essence, love. God's people are to do what God calls them to do because of what God is doing. Both justice and righteousness, what is right, have to do with relationships. The people are to respond to God's gracious acts by developing and maintaining sound, good relationships. Developing good relationships with other people goes hand in hand with a sound relationship with God. So how are we doing at this moment? Not what do we used to do, what do we usually do? But maybe now we need to be thinking about doing something differently. For the people returning from exile, they are focused on rebuilding the nation. And one of the questions is, who is in and who's out? God, through the prophet Isaiah, says that the rules have changed, and the flow of the arc of history is towards the inclusion of people who once were seen as being outside. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the welcome that those usually outside will receive. And Jesus picks this up and develops it. And Jesus declares that people will demonstrate whether they are clean or unclean, not by what they eat, but by what they say and how they treat other people. And Jesus offers help to an outsider, a woman to boot. Isaiah says, those who keep the Sabbath, bringing their offering to God's holy mountain, are acceptable, whatever has been said about them. And the hint at unlikely inclusion has always been there for Jesus. For Jesus, it's an interesting thing that there are three Canaanite women in his family tree, in that genealogy right at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel. Rahab, Tamar, and Ruth. And this anonymous woman of today's story has the possibility that her foremothers are Jesus' kinfolk. Question one, what are women doing in a genealogy? And two, What are Canaanites doing in the history of the one born to be the king of the Jews? And the answer, surely it shouts, something beyond race. The woman's faith is in Jesus' ability to make something happen. Is that our faith too? Do we wring our hands in helplessness and hopelessness? Or do we live as God's hopeful people? We don't understand, but let's stop pretending. Actually, we never understood. We have enough to build our lives on, and it is enough to know that we live with the spirit of the one who knows. Can we live as people who do not know the answers but have faith in the God who lives with us in the middle of the storm? And just before anybody thinks, I would be loved to be a bold person doing right things, but I'm wee and I'm at home, or I certainly can't help in the building at the moment, or I'm wee and I'm just too busy. Let me offer a challenge. There are plenty of people who need our input. Let's reflect on how we are behaving towards others. There are Christians around the world who need our support in places and times of persecution. Amnesty would be glad if we would write letters. There are people who are lonely and they need phone calls. And of course, there is prayer to be done, and there is money to be given away, and there is money to be spent well. There are people who are overwhelmed with anxiety. They need our listening and they need our gentleness. And for the future, it's Carla Grosch-Miller in her work on trauma who has commented that although the return from exile was a time of tragedy and trauma, for the exiles it did give birth to an inclusive monotheism, which is the foundation of the ministry and the life of Jesus. The question is, would we have got that jewel without the pressure? The question is, what jewel is awaiting us? The question is, do we have the faith and the courage to believe that? For society, for the church, for Kingston United Reformed Church. Amen.
So let us pray. The Canaanite woman sought your help. She loved her daughter so much, she was desperate. We pray for those who on this day are desperately getting in their boats and trying to make a new life. Those who are desperate and leaving their country behind. The Canaanite woman was expectant and faithful. We pray for those for whom this is a massive season of doubt of you, Lord our God. And we pray for guidance for those who are trying to do new things in the conviction that they are doing your will. And the Canaanite woman, the outsider, came to you. And we pray for all those who feel that they are outside. For prisoners. For those who are homeless. For those who are outside because of their disability. For those who are outside because they are sick. And for those who feel that they are outside because they are overwhelmed by their bereavement. And for those who were outside, who were shielding, and now have to wonder how to go out safely. Lord, we pray. Lord, we are your people with a radical word for our society. And we ask for your guidance to know how we would preach and teach and live that word at this time. Give us the creativity and the imagination. And help us to do the small things of our life and to do them well. And we pray for ourselves. And we pray for those concerns that are heavy upon us. For the articles that we've read and the pictures that we've seen. We bring our world. We bring our church. We bring the universal church. And we bring our prayers. And all of them come. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So on a Sunday morning, when I'm getting ready for this worship, I always think to myself, I haven't got any notices, no notices today. And then I start. And before I know it, I found I've written War and Peace. So the first thing is to say, just to remind you that this is recorded, just in case you were going to do something outlandish, but it's the Zoom is recorded. And then to tell you that this afternoon is the annual general meeting of the Contact Centre. And if you would like to go, on Zoom of course, if you'd like to go, let me know and I will send you the details. That's the Contact Centre, which usually meets in our building, and they are beginning to start to think about that moving forward. So if you would like those details, send me an email and I will send it to you. And it starts at about 4:45 this afternoon. And then thinking future-wise, we know that for a number of you, getting out and about, getting into the building, you know that we can only have 50 people in the building to worship anyway. We will be continuing worship on Zoom. And come September, we will start gathering at 5 o'clock on a Sunday. The form of that worship will be interactive. But to make that happen, we need volunteers to do the practical stuff. So if you can help set up, set down, we need people to do rotas, would you let me know, send me a message. We've been asked to pray for Nirvana's father, that's Connie's ex-husband, Amar, who has stage 4 cancer. So if you could remember that family in your prayers. The good news is that Will Bryan's daughter has recovered from the COVID and is going back to work on Monday, which is great news. And the news of the exam results is that Lizzie Wright is going to be going to Portsmouth Uni, and Bethany Board and Jenna Trigg are both going to UCL. Hooray! Well done to them. And a wee word of thanks for their parents, eh? And I'm sure there'll be remarks and all that other stuff going on, but that's a good news. So now we move to our communion, and the first thing we will do is dedicate our offering. So let us pray. We bring this bread and this wine to the table of Jesus. With them we bring ourselves, all that we are, and all that we own. May the ordinary become holy, and heaven be opened to the people of the earth. Thanks be to God. Amen. So in the name of the living God, in the name of the victorious Christ, in the name of the mysterious Spirit, come to the table where bread is broken and wine poured out, and receive the life of God, share the victory of Christ, and enter into the mystery of the Spirit. Before he was given up to death, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to God and broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you." And when supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, and said to his disciples, "Take this cup. It represents the new relationship between God and mankind, sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, remember, I am with you." So in the name of the Lord Jesus, we take bread and we take wine. And as Jesus offered prayers of thanks, so we pray. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you died and you are alive. As we come to receive bread and wine, the symbols of your dying and rising, we look forward in hope. We look forward to a time when every day will be a celebration, when solemnity will effervesce and piety will swing, when death will be celebrated like birth, and people will know that they are loved and wanted and beautiful, when they will see you in each other and use each other's eyes as mirrors. Then there will be joy at sunrise and peace at sunset, and all will be free as you are free, now that death is past and only life remains. The maimed will run, fools will be wise, politicians will make peace and feed the people, and turn tanks into combine harvesters. And the whole of life will be one long celebration of this vintage. And children will be born into love and baptized into joy. Someday, Lord, these things shall be, and we will praise you as we ought. But here and now, we receive the bread and the wine. And this bread would be for us a reminder of the body of Christ. And this wine would be for us a reminder of the blood of Christ. We will receive bread and wine, and we will make a start on the new heaven and the new earth that you have in mind for us. And we will thank you for the privilege of our faith. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it. This is my body, he said. It is broken for you. He took wine. This is my blood, he said. It is shed for you. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, you have come into our darkness to be with us forever, so that the light never leaves our eyes and hope never leaves our hearts. Do not let your joy die in us, but let it be constantly renewed like the rising sun, until we gather in perfect light, tasting the fullness of love and coming with you into the presence of our Father, where we shall live and share his life with all humanity forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we join to sing our final hymn, which is another from Iona, Jesus Christ is Waiting. So let's say the grace together.
Grace to the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, Lord, the Holy Spirit, his soul, forevermore. Amen. Amen.